And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Yeah, we can only do so much, but I know these two guys could get pretty dirty, pretty off topic.
No, I'll just put my work brain on. I'm fine.
Yeah, I have to, you know, I'll figure it out. Yeah.
Don't swear in front of the boss.
And put your tie on, Chris. Just make believe you're...
I have a couple. I have a pink one. I have a,
you don't,
I have a
you
red
know,
one.
You don't have a tie rack. You are not a man yet.
No, no. I don't even own a suit that wasn't taken from like a Salvation Army that's like totally not the right size.
I could see you rocking a zoot suit.
I got married once. I had a suit.
Once.
Thankfully, only once.
I had a suit once.
Happy?
What?
Oh.
All right, so anyway, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And I'm here.
You're here.
In real life.
Not in Vegas. You were actually sitting next to me, and you kind of smell a little bit.
Yeah. It was good
pizza.
That
might be the room.
Maybe. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Anyway, episode 120
numbers.
120 number of the SML podcast. The three of us are here. It is not a one-on-one interview, but we do have an interview. Mystery guest, would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do?
So this is Wissam. I know it's not a very common name. It's an Arabic name. I'm from Inference Technology. We're a small people of like developing games here in Montreal, in Canada. We did our first game, which shipped recently on PS4. It shipped a few months before on PS3, but now it just shipped on PS4 in all regions. And that was a very exciting thing for us because it was the first project, and we're very happy that you guys are hosting this with us. Like, we would like to talk to people, tell them about the project, some of the even secrets that we have in the game. So I guess there will be some cool stuff in there.
Ooh, secrets.
Exclusive.
Yeah, my first question for the secrets is, how do you not die in it?
Oh, that's a very tough one. I'm going to keep that till the end because...
it's called sucking, Pappy.
I'm not good at that part.
Yeah. He's learning.
But I guess one thing that is different in Hypervoid, even though like it's... when you look at it, it comes to, like... People who come at this game come probably with a mentality of like, yeah, it's just another space shooter like all other space shooters that people got used to. But the reality is that there is some thought process that is needed in this game. So it's not just about going blind and holding or mashing the buttons to keep firing all the time. The first thing that you might have noticed is that if you keep pressing the button, after a while, your shots become way slower. Like they're not as rapid as when you start like holding the button for the first 2 seconds.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
No, I actually told you about that, and then you did it anyway.
I learned it the hard way.
That's one of those things that you just kind of have to figure out for yourself.
I was going to say, before we get too into the mechanics, for those who don't know what Hypervoid is, do you want to give us your sales pitch? Basically, tell us what the game is?
Absolutely. So Hypervoid is a third-person 3D space shooter game. What's different from all the other space shooters is that the action in this game doesn't take place only in outer space, but actually inside wormholes. And I think this is the first time a game takes this aspect this depth. Like previously, in all the games that I've played before, or even the movies, like when you go through a wormhole, it's just like that single second or split second experience, and boom, you're out on the other side. But for us, like, we found, okay, so not many people have actually explored what happens in there. How about if we go deeper? Like, what are the crazy stuff that happens in there? And this is where Hypervoid actually takes place. So with all the physical theories that wrap around in there, nobody really knows what's happening. This is our vision of it. Basically, you're going through those highly volatile locations. The space and time continuum are so warped, but you have to still maintain your balance there and still be able to, with all this craziness, target your enemies properly and survive. So basically, it's a challenging game right from the beginning. Like, that was the intention.
Yes.
It nails the challenging aspect part.
Yeah, Joe was nice enough to let me play it. I got here a couple hours ago. I'm on vacation. And, it was a lot of fun. It reminded me of like a modern day Tempest in terms of the controls. But then you added those twists of the different weapons and the whole 360 loop in the warp and all of that stuff. And yeah, you aren't kidding with the whole, you know, the way the different enemies respond and how you got to move and just continually stay busy and look three steps ahead. And then I died anyway.
Yeah. A lot. He died a lot.
I feel I probably sometimes exaggerated. Like, I feel sometimes you need to have four eyes to be able to focus on everything that's going to attack you at some point.
Yeah. And figuring out the patterns is a big deal. Exactly.
To be fair, Pappy, you did have six eyes. You had your two eyes playing, my two eyes and Chris's two eyes watching you fail and laugh at you.
To be fair, I think the majority of the time, my two eyes might have been buried in my phone.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many eyes, only mine were helping me.
That's true. And that's still even debatable.
Allegedly. Yeah,
right.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I made it to level 4, 5.
I don't remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still waiting for that guy who will post a YouTube video rage quitting on the game.
Oh, it's going to happen. Yeah.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Someone's going to have a broken TV screen after dying for the 40th time, just yelling, fuck this, and throw it at the TV and break it.
Well, it took me, I didn't get frustrated. I got that one first boss, and I beat it, but it took me, 5 or 6 lives.
Yeah, it was fun watching.
See, but that's the thing. I mean, I appreciate games that will take, you know, that level of challenge instead of kind of taking the easy way out and be like, you know, guiding you by hand through the entire game. Like,
yeah,
I think you found a good balance. It's a challenging game, but it's not one of those where it's so hard you just get angry immediately.
No, I mean, we were able to win it, of course. But we play tested it with some other people, of course. They struggled, but in the end, they managed to go through. I think the most successful people were those who were able to sit back after failing for a few times and reflect on what was happening and they were thinking, what should I really do to work out my way through that situation?
Yeah.
And for people, it seems like it's going to work. It's working the most.
Yeah, I figured out what I was doing wrong pretty quickly. I kept using the bumpers to warp instead of the buttons to fire. But that's just me because I'm a very bad gamer.
I do want to say that
I see what you're saying.
It's good that you, as the developers, are able to beat the game, because I'm waiting for those developers that just toss out a game and people are like, oh my God, this is so hard. How do you beat it? Developers are like, I don't know. We just made it. Figure it out.
I kind of wonder if like the I Want to Be the Guy developers were like that, you know.
It's possible. Yeah. I could see it. Like those in the, what was it, the Boshi?
Yeah, I Want to Be the Boshi.
Yeah.
Well, we're finding those people with Mario Maker now.
See, but you know what? With Mario Maker, the fact that they can't post a level until they can beat it, like, that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
And then you find some, like, cheesy way that they just got it to,
so
like,
so we're glad that, as developers, you guys were able to beat your own game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it can get worse. I mean, I've seen some developers who actually not only weren't beating their own game, but they haven't even tested it so that they know that it actually works. Like, you literally reach some level and you're basically bunked there. You can't actually move beyond that level because it's broken.
And those developers are all from Ubisoft.
and also the new Tony Hawk game, but we'll get into that later.
The Rambo 3 game for Commodore when I was a kid. To get past level 1, you had to get rubber gloves to open an electric gate, but the rubber gloves were on the other side of the electric gate. So I never beat level 1 in Rambo 3 as a kid.
That's hysterical.
That's pretty good.
So you would think that a game like that would be playtested more.
Commodore 64, man.
Yeah, maybe it was just a sign of the times. I wasn't around for those games.
Yeah,
so
I'm old.
But speaking of older games, I really do love the visual style of the game and the gameplay style. It felt a lot like Tempest in the whole going around, but it also had the flatter areas, which gave it. I like how it changed it up. Like, it's not continuously the same style of gameplay. It's all from the outer space areas, just controlling left and right to the wormholes going 360 degrees around.
Oh, yeah, and then you had like the ridges in the background sometimes with the thing warping.
Well, it adds more depth, you know, because essentially you can get away with doing a couple different styles of game within one, but it makes sense. That's the one thing that I actually like about the approach, you know.
Yeah. So originally we started considering only wormholes, but we found it to be too alienating. So that's why we sprinkled those like regular outer space situations. So it's like an area where you can take some breath back, like between those very intense moments.
Yeah, I liked it. But it also kind of challenges the player to reorient themselves, because you know I went from being able to do full loops around to all of a sudden I only have left and right. And I think as Joe pointed out, I kept missing the edges when it went back to two dimensional. I kept never going far enough to one side to shoot my enemies.
Everything on the extreme left or right,
I couldn't hit it.
Completely missed.
I had to reorient myself to flat ground, and then we went back to the loop, and you took a second to reorient, which is kind of nice. Yeah, you don't just get just used to it and kind of take it for granted. All the levels were just different enough to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, it's like once you're finally getting used to the perspective and the dimension, the game changes things up, keeping it fresh.
And it was, though, a bit like it took us a bit of imagination, as you can expect, to come up with some of the wormhole shapes. After a while, there are so many shapes you can come up with, but then you still want to be dynamic and things are going on. So it was actually a mixture of playing with not only shape, but also you might have noticed like the visual style continuously changes and the colors. So that was a big part, thanks to my brother Humam, who was focusing on the visual aspect of the game. We did both like work on the design. For the most part, I was doing the programming, and my brother was doing the art for the game.
So how many people in total worked on the game? Was it just the two of you, or?
Yeah, it's basically just the two of us. However, we had also an external contractor for the original soundtrack, which I hope you liked.
I love the music in it.
Cool, yeah. That was an interesting story. Like, the guy, we didn't know him before, actually. He's a local Montrealer here. But basically, we came to him with some tracks from existing games. So we gave him you mentioned Tempest. Tempest is definitely one of our inspirations. In addition to other games like Gradius and Super R-Type, you might say. But for the soundtrack, like, I was actually looking for the work of the company Origins. You know, if you remember this company back from the 90s, they did the Wing Commander and Crusader.
Yeah.
So I'm particularly a big fan of Crusader's soundtrack, which was made by Andrew Sega. I took the soundtrack to this guy, so his name was Camel. And we told him, like, we would like something in this soul. But at the same time, Crusader's music was kind of slow. But it had the mood, which is, like, you know, post-apocalyptic, spacey. But we want to add more on the techno and upbeat parts of the song. And he actually did a very great job, somehow putting all those things together and giving us something unique for the game.
Nice. all three of us go to talk at once. We each look at each other. Are you going to say something? Are you going to? Okay, we'll all talk at once.
See, this is, it's so weird when you actually have everybody in the same room.
Yeah, you're not used to eye contact from the area.
It's goofy.
It's unnerving.
Right? You gotta stare deeply into my eyes now.
All right, we'll go round robin. Taras, you talk.
I really enjoyed the movie.
The movie.
I really enjoyed the movie adaptation of
drunk,
your game.
You're thinking of Drunk Monkey.
I really enjoyed the music to the game. It complemented it. It didn't take me out of it, and it didn't distract me from it. So I feel that that's when you do the music right, when it just flows with the game.
Personally, I think you can't ever go wrong with some good techno music.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's also because you're just secretly stuck in the 90s.
I am.
Secretly? There's no secret about it.
That's, well, Yeah, but I've never seen, I've never like walked into the other room and then like hear you going like, be my lover, wanna be my love, like
no,
stuff
but
like
he,
that.
He can
like,
still quote Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, but that wasn't.
So can all of us.
That's true. I think everybody has a little bit of Limp Bizkit inside.
I have a playlist on my Zune for travel, and I called it just the 90s.
Yeah. And do you skip over it most of the time?
No, I listen to it on the way here.
I have one of those playlists, like, but I like specifically will just not hit it because I don't want to make myself sad.
See, I enjoyed a lot of techno from the 90s. The Mortal Kombat soundtracks had great electronica.
Oh my god, yeah.
Bands like Psychosonic, Underworld, even more rock oriented stuff like Gravity Kills, KMFDM,
Sneaker
Sister
Pimps.
Machine Gun.
I mean, it's the opposite of rock, but Sneaker Pimps.
So
right.
I, deep down, I love techno music, and this game just, it hit that nerve and I loved it.
Yeah, I like when it's not like completely overdone though. Like it's still like tasteful.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of like the techno and dance stuff that ends up coming up nowadays and even in other games, it's like you could tone it down a little
bit. They just put Sandstorm on loop for 3 hours.
Basically. But no, I liked it too because it was very like, it's more atmospheric. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't necessarily overbearing. Like you said, it kind of, you know, it complemented it as opposed to, you know,
pulled you out of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's essentially just an enhancement more than anything. Yeah.
And what did you say the composer's name was?
His name is Kamil Bushnak. He's here in Montreal also with us.
Do you know if he has a website that we could pimp out for him?
Yes, he does. And he has some of his works on there. I can also send you the website's name. It's actually by his name, KamilBushnak.com.
That's, yeah, wow. I would have never been able to spell that.
Email me the link because I forget half those letters already.
He doesn't even know what Q looks like.
One thing to note about the music also, probably you've noticed this, is that when you are inside the wormholes, you have the more, how can I put this? It's the more life version of the song, of the soundtrack.
It's almost more like the more aggressive. It's the, hey, you're in serious danger now.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas when you go back to outer space, it's more like spacey, ambient version of the same track.
Yeah, false sense of security.
And so you have the song Outer Space, and then in the wormhole, it's Outer Space, Shit's About to Go Down Remix.
It's the danger mix. it's good.
Damn it,
I like the music.
I can't help it.
But yeah, and I do like what you guys do with the level designs. I did get far enough to where the wormhole looped, so they were going over above me and then down around. And then back at me.
Kind of like a cascading wave.
Yeah.
So you said that you managed to go through level 4.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got to level 4. I don't think I got through it.
Yeah. So level 4 is definitely one of the most notable levels because it's like, you know, this is a full run through the asteroid field. So you see a big planet exploding right in front of you, and then all this, all those rocks come in front of you, and you have to make your way through them.
Yeah, and that asteroid field, not being able to blow up the rocks just by doing, you know, like one shot was kind of neat. Like, I would shoot them, and they would just kind of float off to the side.
Yeah, I like the physics of the asteroids.
Yeah. So you shoot them, you push them away from you, but at the same time, they might collide with each other, and they will bounce back at you. So yeah, the question of what to do, really. So you can either dodge, but also you can use your bullet shots, which will repel the rocks away from you. But finally, you can also use your laser, which is the third weapon, and that one doesn't cause any rocks to repel from you. So you at least you can manage, understand what's going on, and you can anticipate rocks as they will come towards you. So if you keep shooting them with your laser, you have lesser of chance to be surprised by a rock bumping to you.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really enjoyed about the game was that you don't just have guns in the game. There are three different distinct weapons, and they all seem to have their own purpose.
Exactly. So And if you, I might add, if you've gone to the levels further, there's even more and more distinction made to your weapons. So you will see that certain enemies cannot be taken with any weapon except, for example, the red bullets. Another one cannot be taken with anything except the green bullets. And they will, you will have a mix of both enemies coming at you at the same time. And then you will be scratching your head.
Yeah, I didn't make it that far. I would have gotten confused.
That's when button mashing comes into play. Just spray and pray.
Or get that get that little boost where you just fire all your weapons at once.
Oh, yeah. So what was the idea behind having three different weapons in the game? Did you have the thought in mind from the beginning of having different enemies susceptible only to certain shots? Or did come from the idea to begin with?
It's actually, after I thought a little bit about how games are actually exposing new weapons to the player. And what's the purpose? Like, what seemed to me is that, like, for example, if you play Mega Man, you're playing and as you progress further, you have your weapons. But the reality is, as you go further in the game, more the enemies become more difficult. So you need more powerful weapons to beat them. But in the end, that means that the level of difficulty is actually still maintained because, yes, harder enemies, but you also have better weaponry. So it goes back again. So it's all about renewal. But in my case, I want to try something different. Like, what if I give you all the ingredients right from the beginning? But what actually changes is actually only the difficulty of the enemies. And I would like to see how people are actually going to adapt to that. So this time it's really a challenge of increasing difficulty. It's not, we're seemingly increasing the difficulty. So that's one of the thoughts that went behind offering you all the three weapons right away from the beginning. The second one is exactly like it's a matter of choice. So giving the player the choice to pick which one is the most suitable for him. And I'm not going to tell you which weapon is the correct one. You have to figure that out for yourself. It's part of the fun.
So it's kind of like Mega Man 2, where you beat Metal Man and get Metal Blade, and you have the best weapon ever in the history of Mega Man. You just got to figure out how to use it right.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Blade's the best.
I never beat Mega Man.
I think that was 2 that you're referencing?
Yeah.
It was the only one that I played, and it was because he made me play it.
How do you not go through life not having played Mega Man 2? That's what you're doing later, Patty.
No, I played enough Mega Man to know that when I hit the spiky things, I explode into a burst of light.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yep. I mean, I made it through Mega Man 2. He helped me with, like, a couple things.
Oh, I made it through, too. I once watched him play.
Well,
why did I have to mention another game? Now we're off topic.
Okay. Yeah. Your fault.
I never had my head wrapped around the difficulty of Mega Man's. Like, I always end up eating just biting on my own hand just because it's so difficult, man.
But,
like, this game, Hyperoid, is difficult? No, it's not that difficult compared to Mega Man.
Speaking of other games, though, I want to ask you my favorite question for developers.
Yeah, here's the Pappy question.
So when you're taking a break from your game, do you play any other games? And if so, like, what game do you enjoy as kind of an unwinding when you're not programming your own?
Yeah, right now, I generally tend to play the more, like, AAA games. So right now I'm playing Arkham Knight, which is a very, very good one. Like, I really enjoy the story. I'm a big fan of fighting games as well, so I spend a lot of time on Mortal Kombat. And finally, being a PC gamer, also spend a lot of time on League of Legends.
It's pretty much, at this point, anybody that owns a computer that's able to run games, it's almost required that they have to play League of Legends at some point. Like, it's almost like a modern PC gaming, like, rite of passage at this point. Like,
but I feel that doesn't... I mean, I've never played League of Legends, but I always hear people saying, like, so many people in that game take it so seriously.
Dude, League of Legends has, like...
Like, I feel like that's a hard game to unwind to, because if you get with that group of grumpy people, they're just going to do nothing but yell.
It depends. It really depends. It depends on the kind of people that you play with, but that's one of those games that, like, dude, you look at the tournaments, and they're turning around, like, stupid amounts of money. Like, just stupid amounts of money.
So how many tournaments have you been in?
Well, personally, I just do it for the fun of it. Like, I even like look at the people screaming at each other, and I enjoy watching that. But I'm not really that big in the game itself. It's just like play it to, you know, do something different.
It's pretty much like it really is like the default PC game. Like, yeah. Like every, well, because it's technically
it's been a very common answer with the developers we've talked to.
I thought Minesweeper was the default PC game.
It is.
Maybe put it instead of Solitaire in the next Windows.
Yeah, pretty much. At this point, they might as well. They really should.
You have Hearts, you have Spider Solitaire, you have Minesweeper, and League of Legends.
Which, and then all you have to do, and they're already doing it, is toss in Minecraft, and you're done. Like, it's like.
Well, that would be the best.
Because they're doing the Minecraft like Windows 10 integration, like the new version.
Yeah, but they're not including it free. I mean, that's a cash cow. They're gonna charge you for Minecraft.
Sure, but like I think they're doing some sort of like discount rate or something stupid like that.
Yeah, if you already own it.
I don't know. I don't keep track on it. I haven't played Minecraft since I played Sunset Overdrive, because I would play Minecraft in between Sunset Overdrive to not like kill myself. Dude, I'm not even kidding. Because Sunset Overdrive was just so crazy that I just needed something to absolutely turn my brain off. Like,
what kind of games would you play to just turn your brain off?
So basically, the fighting games are a good way to really empty your anger and, like, you know, just chill out. Interestingly, but that's how it goes for me. So, yeah, as I said, like, I've been doing some Mortal Kombat recently. I really like that. Like, they added a lot of depth in there with all those different styles that you can play with.
I love what they did with Mortal Kombat X.
Like, I've been playing Mortal Kombat since the first one.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a little bit starting to become a little bit too old for it. So, a guy who is 10 years younger than me will easily beat me in this.
Oh, you're never too old to rip someone's spine out and shove it down their throat.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I think the learning curve for Mortal Kombat is actually relatively decent as far as a fighting game is concerned. Because, like, there's pretty much a lot of people that even if they're not, like, hardcore into fighting games, they enjoy Mortal Kombat. And they can understand it enough so that they can pretty much sit down against anybody.
At the very least, you can teach them enough to be Sub-Zero or Scorpion.
Well, yeah, you could teach them enough to just kind of like to just get by, but even them just getting by could easily beat like a regular normal player. So
not like your fighting game.
What? Killer Instinct?
That's my favorite.
Yeah, Chris over here does Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct has a huge, huge learning curve.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a wall, not a curve. It's a wall.
It depends.
If you can't parkour over that wall, you're done.
If you ever have an opportunity to play the new Killer Instinct, since you like fighting games, if you play it like, if you take Jago and you play it like Street Fighter, you'll be fine. If you are used to other types of fighting games, you could find a character that will suit whatever type of fighting game you're used to, and it'll make sense.
No, because the one I'm still looking for the fighting game I'm good at.
So you should probably play like Tekken or Soul Calibur.
I was actually very good at Soul Calibur.
Yeah,
Taki.
Oh, okay.
Very good with Taki.
See, most people when they're like, "Oh yeah, I was good at Soul Calibur," they're like, "Oh, Maxi," because they just slam buttons and then he just like rolls all over the place.
No, I was always give me a fast character.
Maxi was nunchucks.
Well, you know, Maxi was a broken character.
He was broken.
No, I refused to. I was good with him, but everyone's good with
everyone's
him.
Good. It's like Eddie Gordo. Yeah. Maxi is the Eddie Gordo of
hey,
Soul
Calibur. Hey guys. We have a guest.
Oh, yeah.
He likes fighting games. Yeah,
involve him in the conversation.
I was telling him that he should play Killer Instinct.
Yeah. I tried it trickly, but I couldn't maintain myself for too long there. It's indeed very difficult to pick up.
I will say one thing about the game, if you do have an opportunity to grab it, is it's one of the few fighting games that I've been able to play where the tutorials are actually like super in depth and will explain every point of it to you. You just have to retain it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I guess that's better than like the Marvel Capcom tutorial where it's just like hit this button 15 times. There you go.
And you win.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Allegedly.
Dude, I will never understand
unless
that
you're
game.
Fighting the Hulk.
I will never understand that game.
So what all platforms is Hyper Void on right now? You mentioned PS3, PS4.
Correct. So that was the initial launch was on PS3. We recently launched on PS4. The Xbox One is going through some formality, but it's coming probably within a couple of months.
Yes!
So that's great news.
We definitely have a bigger Xbox One audience, so we always love to hear that the good games are coming to the Xbox One.
So yeah, it is coming. That's and also we're going to do the PC version, but it's going to require a bit more testing because, you know, it requires to try all those combinations of PCs.
You got to work on
a bajillion driver supports.
Yeah. And then no matter what, the Linux guys are still going to complain.
We're probably going to run a beta for it to get some coverage because, like, for the two of us, it's difficult to really get enough coverage. No matter how many PCs, like, I can get, like, what, 5, 6? It's not.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, you like PC gaming. Maybe you could do some beta testing for him.
I could do that.
There we go. We found you a tester.
I could do that.
There's one down.
Yes, sir.
The SML podcast comes through again.
Too bad I'm only working with a 670. So a 760. So my graphics card isn't amazing, but it should do the job.
It should be more than enough, actually, because the development machines that we use. So originally, the game has been developed on PC. It's just that we didn't have enough. The capacity to do the testing, but the PCs we use here are actually using quite old graphics cards. Like I have a 460 here.
Oh yeah, all right. Well, I'll be golden.
And it runs Hyper Void very smoothly. I mean, it's a game that had to run on the PS3, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So even like a modern, any kind of relatively modern gaming graphics card is going to be comparable, if not better, to most consoles.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a machine pushing game, but
right.
At the same time, it still maintains its like high enough quality of graphics.
You do what's the most important thing is you made it look really good and play smoothly within the medium, and you don't have to be pushing the next generation. You just need to make a good looking game. And you did that.
And have it run smoothly.
Yeah.
Which is honestly, I would say at this point, like especially nowadays, it almost doesn't even matter what kind of game you release at this point. People will just be like, oh my God, it works? Yeah, let's buy it.
Yeah, no, Joe played another game after I played yours, and it crashed on the opener. So that was a little disconcerting.
It could have been a fluke.
Yeah, hopefully.
But
it could have been Joe.
It's just one of those things where it's like when you launch up a game and it works like that, from the first time, every time, that's a good feeling.
I can't even get an app to open without crashing.
Maybe you need to get a new phone.
learn to phone better. I don't know.
Maybe you should stop like having so much porn open in your browser.
Don't do that,
Pappy.
I don't do that.
It's a brand new phone.
So what was the launch window you're looking at for the Xbox One version?
I would say by the end of this year. Can't really be more precise than that. I mean, yeah, because it's not completely in my hands. It's just basically going through the formalities that Microsoft puts on publishing a game.
Well,
development is done.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so we're done actually doing the coding. It's I don't have to do anything further. It's just like with Microsoft right now, they're testing it, making sure that everything is according to their requirements.
It's just in the pipeline, essentially.
Yeah, but for them, like surprisingly, the end of the pipeline for them is actually quite long. So it takes about like 2 to 3 months, as I've heard. I hope that I can accelerate that further, but I'm not sure. That's why I can give an exact, by the month thing. But I'm hoping, before the end of the year, we would have something released.
Well, be sure to let us know when it's happening, because we will absolutely mention it on the show. I'm having a blast with the game, and I will gladly pick it up on the Xbox One as well.
Yeah, awesome. So Microsoft just has to make sure you didn't hide any, subliminal buy Sony products messaging in there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, wait a minute, this the end of this wormhole actually almost looks like the PlayStation 2 boot up. That's not, we can't have that.
Is that Kaz Harai's head? any thoughts or plans for an appearance on Nintendo platforms at all?
No, to be honest, we haven't considered that. It seemed to me like it's a bit distant, even though I've seen some developers actually being able to target the Wii U. I don't have the channels, so maybe for a follow-up project, I would consider that.
In my mind, a game with wormholes and space travel seems like it would be a natural fit for the 3DS, but I'm not sure how easy that is to develop
to
for.
Do, like, two screens and everything? That'd be... Yeah, I'm sure that's weird.
I just think with the wormhole aspect, traveling through it in 3D would be incredible.
Oh, yeah, that'd be badass, actually.
So the cool thing, so not necessarily answering for the 3DS question, but I would say with regards to like the 3D aspect, so we are planning to have a release for, well, now they renamed it. It was Project Morpheus. Now it is PlayStation VR. So as soon as the PlayStation VR hits the shelves, we will have an update for Hypervoid on PS4 that will fully support the PlayStation VR.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
And it will come for free for whomever actually bought the game before that.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Oculus Rift support as well?
That is also being considered for the PC version, yes.
Because
I'll be really interested in it. I just got right next to you, Pappy. You see that little see that yellow box there? No. Yellow box, literally right in front of you. Okay, so that is a Google Cardboard that I got from Frito-Lay. It was free in the mail. So basically what you do is you put your cell phone in the front of it, and then there's two lenses there, so it kind of acts like almost like a VR headset. Even just messing around with that for like 5-10 minutes, I'm like, whoa, VR actually seems like this is going to be like the coolest thing ever. So now I'm actually kind of interested in trying to grab some stuff for an Oculus and get that for myself.
Because there's a VR thing real quick off topic was, they were handing out something similar to this at a racing show I went to with a friend in Vegas, and his wife got ticked that we didn't grab extra ones because she was trying to get them for her class because she's a college library sciences teacher. She was trying to get them for demonstration, and I guess even just buying them on like Amazon, they're like, even the cardboard ones are like 10, 15 bucks.
Yeah, they're like 15, 20 bucks a piece. Yeah. It depends on the version. Now, I that particular one, like I have a slightly larger phone, so it is a little bit of a pain in the ass because the lenses don't quite line up right, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And even just with that alone, I'm like, yo, Oculus
is going to be cool.
As soon as that, like, hits the actual, like, you know, hits the consumer market and is a little bit more, like, you know, up to snuff, I'm going to jump all over that.
Because, I mean, I kickstarted an Oculus Rift game, so I guess I need that to hit the consumer market, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Well, because I know PlayStation is going to have the PlayStation VR, and Xbox has thrown their support behind the Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like no matter which route you go, you're going to have that experience eventually.
Although, what was that?
Microsoft has their own thing, too. Like, they have the HoloLens.
The HoloLens. Yeah. Dude, the HoloLens looks fucking...
That one actually, people were saying for full immersive gameplay, that one's actually looking better than the Oculus.
Did you watch the demo with the Minecraft thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my,
it was ridiculous.
God! Like, it was insane! That was so crazy!
Can you imagine Hypervoid and augmented reality with...
It just blows out the whole, like, side wall of your room. Oh, that'd be sweet.
Are you writing these ideas down?
I'm writing that down. I'm actually probably going to implement it.
That would be awesome. Insane! Yeah. That'd be so cool. See, and you know what? And that's the crazy, like... When you said that, like, when you actually had the first, a moment of, I'm gonna try and sit and make video games and this is what I want to do. Did you ever think that they would actually reach this point that you would be, instead of the, like, I kind of figured the whole VR thing would happen, but this one, like, how they implemented the thing with Minecraft and making it a part of the augmented reality type of version of it. Like, did you ever think that was going to be a thing when you first thought about making games?
Yeah, I had no idea, to be honest. Like, this is really beyond my imagination. But it was, like, really cool when I saw it in the but what was it in the E3 demo, like they did, it was really amazing. Like, felt so real. I don't know if it's really like that or is it something like they're just showing. I don't know.
I mean, allegedly how they did it, they had a pair of glasses like on the camera, I guess. Like the lens of the camera was going through the glasses so that we were able to see what was going on.
Supposedly we were seeing exactly what you're going to see.
Which, even still, the way that they were getting the camera angles and going around with it, it's like, I don't know if that's something that they could have particularly staged.
Yeah, that looked way too in-depth
it
to be scripted.
It looked way too crazy to be scripted.
I will say, if anyone is new to the show, go back to the post E3 episodes and listen to us go insane about the Minecraft demo.
Do yourself a favor, Google it, find a link to the actual video and watch it for yourself. Cause when I watched it the first time, like, I couldn't pick my jaw up off the floor.
Joe's like, listen to our podcast. Chris, like, no, just go watch it.
Just watch it, dude. Like, it's so, like, you see this happen. You're like, no way, man. Like, there's, like, this is impossible. Like, my mind was literally blown. Literally.
It's not like that. He also actually put his head inside the room and he was looking around. Like, how cool can that be?
Yeah, even now, months later, I still can't find the words to just describe how impressively good looking that was. And of course, it's all beta technology. It's all prototype stuff. We don't know how the final product is going to be.
Right.
But if it's anywhere even close to that,
I'd be pumped. Man. Like going from a Tiger R Zone to that. Is like,
I think we're the right age group. I think as kids, we grew up with the handheld, the Tigers. We had the NES, the Ataris, and then we got to see, because the kids being born now, they're not going to see such a jump in technology.
No.
Because we're only going to hit a certain point, and until they can implant chips into our brains, we're gonna be at just, you know, slight tweaks with the technology. But we got to see
the very, very
arcades,
infantile, like,
yeah, to appreciate. You know, my parents, I mean, my dad played arcade games and you know, like Galaga and Asteroids, but we're really the generation that got to see the home entertainment from birth to what it's becoming now.
Yep, lucky generation.
What was your console generation growing up? Did you start the Atari ColecoVision days? Were you later on with Super Nintendo, Genesis, PlayStation?
Yeah, so it started with the Atari 2600. But then we had, because I grew up in Saudi Arabia, we had what was called like the MSX system. It was very popular there. But
like, Metal Gear.
I looked at that for about 5 years. And then I started like moving. So we had the NES, and then I moved on the Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo.
And so you played them all.
First PlayStation. Yeah, it's pretty much like I had my hands on all of them, except maybe the Sega Saturn. It was like this very weird.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah, I think so.
That's debatable. There's a lot of really good Saturn
games.
Isn't
that Dragoon?
Panzer Dragoon Saga, Burning Rangers. All the anything made by Working Designs.
It's not required.
But still, yeah, it sounds like, yeah, you definitely played a lot more of the consoles than I did. I just had a Game Boy for like 8 years.
It was the same one.
No, it was. It was the Game Boy from 10 to 18. That was my console.
Nice.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you claimed...
We weren't allowed to have a console in the house.
No, what was the Game Boy version of
Battletoads?
Yeah, that's Battletoads. Right. Yeah.
Let's get another opinion on this. Okay, Weesum. Pappy here, he likes to brag that he's beaten Battletoads.
I specify. I say I beat Battletoads on Game Boy.
Only after someone asks which version.
No, I say Battletoads.
Well, maybe
on Game Boy.
Maybe
like,
now
wait.
You do. Originally, you were like, I beat Battletoads, but
I
he did it on.
I've beaten Battletoads on the Nintendo.
All right, see, now he can brag.
Yeah, you win.
you win.
Yeah. I made it past the bike on the Nintendo, but it wasn't my Nintendo.
That's not, I mean, yes, that's one of the worst parts, but you're still not in the clear after
Again,
that.
That's stage three.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, correct. But to be honest, like, after you pass through that level, I guess you become quite well trained for the next challenges that will come at you. I mean, that was one really crazy level.
I rage. That was the first game that I legitimately rage quit.
I've recently been trying to beat Battletoads with the Rare Replay release.
I think that's probably what I'm going to end up using my
I beat
on.
The whole first level without even taking a hit. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this is going good. And then I went level 2 where you're going down.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you're
the
rappelling
repel,
down.
Yeah.
Died. Continue.
died.
So, it's going to take a while.
Die.
All right.
So what did we receive any emails this week?
No, nothing we got in. But what kind of games are you playing nowadays?
Yeah, so as I said, what I have on my PS4 right now is like Arkham Knight, but I'm also planning to start on Metal Gear Phantom Pain.
Metal Gear.
Anything else this fall you're looking forward to?
No, to be honest, I've been quite busy doing some development. That's in the upcoming catalog, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess once you're all cut up and everything's released on all the platforms, then you get to look back and go, oh, hey, look at all these awesome games I can play now with my free time.
Yeah, and they're so much cheaper now.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, it's a good trade.
What do you guys have in the pipeline? What's coming out after Hyper Void?
Yeah, so that is something we are still considering, so because we still have a bit of work to do to support the PlayStation VR, but at the same time we're thinking about what would be our next project, but we don't have anything like to be like announced to the public yet. But we will definitely let you know as soon as we have something.
All right, that sounds good.
I'll be interested to see like what else you you're inspired to work on.
We love the space theme, so maybe it will be something around that, but it's probably not going to be Hyper Void 2.
I don't blame you.
Depends. Hey, well, if it starts taking off, you may just have to listen to the fans and give them what they want.
Yeah. Hyper Voider.
Hyper Voider, even voidier.
Yeah.
And then the third one.
You got to write these ideas down. This is money.
So the third one will be Hyper Voidist.
Absolute gold.
We're printing money on the podcast.
I don't blame you though. If you're doing almost all the programming yourself. I definitely don't blame you for wanting to do something different.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, how long did it take for you to like from inception to now completion, sending it out to companies to potentially get it out into circulation? How long did that take?
Let me see. So I recall, so we had about like one full year, like full time working on the project. But before that, we had like some time going on, working on the project, but not like spending full time, maybe 4 hours a day. I'd say like a year and a half. Yeah, a year and a half.
That's a pretty healthy investment.
Yeah, that's time.
It's a bit of time, but for two people, I think, and getting a game with like 30 levels, I think that's an achievement. Like
with a two person crew, like
yeah, we've
that's insane.
We've talked with people like 4 or 5 man teams who've taken 3 years to get a game done. So I think you guys had a pretty good turnaround time.
Yeah. As I said, it's a. Part of it is because, like, we have been, so me and my brother have been working in those AAA companies. So we worked at EA for about, 7 years. So we know what needs to be done. You know, it's not something new for us.
What titles have you worked on in the past?
We worked on Dead Space 2 and 3, and Army of 2, the second one. So what was it called?
The 40th Day. That is one of my all-time favorite shooters. I love the 40th Day.
I heard it was really, really good.
And I was very sad when in the third one they removed, you don't play Rias and Salem anymore.
Yeah. Man.
I mean, I got attached to the characters myself.
Like, the first Army of 2 was rough, but you could see the potential that was there. The second game nailed it out of the friggin' park. I absolutely love the 40th Day. And then the third one, Devil's Cartel, just, they they took something that was so near perfect in my eyes
and then just kind of
just ruined it.
That's I agree with you.
Man, I love the 40th day.
Yeah, so the sad story behind the Devil's Cartel is that after the project was like wrapped up, they had to actually shut down the Montreal studio, which actually did the game.
Man.
And that was the moment where we switched full throttle on Hypervoid. Because I was working at that studio, and then when they shut down the studio, like I decided to go, okay, let's do this game.
Oh, EA, you sons of bitches.
Always so getting rid of good people.
But, yeah, luckily, I mean, we also, like, EA had in Montreal also their BioWare studio, so they do Mass Effect in there and Dragon's Age. So many of the people moved on to that studio instead.
Well, we have a resident Dragon Age whore.
What?
How many full playthroughs have you done already?
Full playthroughs, only two. Partial playthroughs, five.
Five.
Yeah, I'm currently 100%ing the DLC right now.
And that's just on the new one, right?
Yeah, that's just my new playthrough.
Yeah.
I 95% of the game on my last playthrough. Like, there were just a few things I was like, no, I'm too tired
good
to
Lord.
Find
I can't even
like, I like Dragon Age.
Sit down with that game for more than like an hour and a half.
I played it for 13 hours on a Saturday a couple weeks ago, about a month ago. I didn't even notice. It was just the fact that it was dark all of a sudden. I was like, huh.
I am an RPG fan since childhood, and I haven't gone that crazy with Dragon Age.
I didn't even move. I just laid sideways on the couch and started playing.
Puddle of drool forming on the pillow.
I understand. I feel your pain. I mean, I went that way with Diablo a lot when I was younger, so I understand.
My Kunari ain't going to chop people in half without my help.
Very true. So was Hypervoid the first independent project that you and your brother did together?
Yeah, I would say it's the first official title that we ever do under this like independent name of ours. So InFrames is our company name, and this is the first title. Like, this is the first official one.
That's really cool to hear. I know a lot of people that we talk to, if they have like their first big console release, they still have, you know, a handful of mobile games before then, or just something else to kind of have some releases under their belt before they go all out with a brand new brand new console title.
Yeah, there is a reason for that. I mean, 2 years ago, only 2 years ago, Microsoft and Sony were not that open to actually many developers who didn't have a good background doing games on consoles. But for us, as I said, like having 7 years at EA, that was good enough. Like, and we had the experience to do a game on the PS3, which was not an easy console to target, really. But like, we showed them what we could do, and like, we gave them a vertical slice, basically a full level of the game. They looked at it, they liked it, and they said, okay, we can sign you on. We know that you can actually do it. And that was like in 2013 sometime, in there, like early 2013. Basically, now things are way easier, so they're now more open into accepting people who don't even necessarily have that strong background. Just because, like, you know, the tools for making games nowadays have grown to really, like, lower the barrier for many people. You don't have to be really a fluent C++ programmer anymore. As long as you have an idea, you can do it with Unity or UDK.
Do you find it slightly frustrating that, like, that there is such a wide market for people to essentially get into it with, you know, given that you have so much of a background and so much experience? Like, is that slightly frustrating to see?
Well, it's two ways. So in one way, yeah, because it adds noise. So basically, instead of spending time trying to perfect your gameplay to have a very good game, you have to actually spend effort into getting your game to be visible. Which kind of sucks. I don't really like doing that kind of work, but the reality of it is that you have to do this. But on the other hand, I mean, with all those people who don't have much experience, I mean, yeah, being able to just pick up an engine and do your game on it doesn't mean necessarily that you will be able to give a game of the same quality as a person who has been in the industry for over 5 years. So at the same time, I see that, no, we still have some edge there that we can build upon and still stand out from the crowd. I mean, if you look at Hypervoid, it doesn't look really like anything else out there. Like, it's not any of those pixel art 2D games that is now coming, like, on.
Yeah, it's really good to see a new game come out that's not just 8-bit.
Right. Well, see, and that's the thing, too. I mean, I like more of your attitude of, like, well, you know what? We'll let the game speak for ourselves, and we'll show that this is going to be a really good game, and it'll, you know, it'll live up to expectations. So we'll, you know, really stand by it and having it, you know, it's going to stand out just for the fact that you guys know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think some people, like, actually felt that in the game. So that was great. That was cool.
Yeah, because you could have just made a hard game of repetitive levels and called it a day. But like you said, you tried really hard to make sure that every level felt a little bit differently, that there was different physics in each in a different look.
It stays fresh the whole way through.
And I think that's where your experience talks, is that, you know, maybe a kid who, if they had come up with this idea, but they had only made, like, one or two mobile games beforehand, they would have fallen into the possible trap of just repetitive levels. You had the experience to go, you know, I know what it takes to make a game interesting level by level by level, and I you knew what to do to twist each little thing.
Yeah, it takes patience, I would say, and that you can only grow, like, patience within the gaming industry. That is something that you really need to spend time, like, to be able to acquire it.
And there's got to be a lot of patience, because unlike, you know, stuff like music and film, you have so much work to do before you even get to see just a tiny, tiny blip of what you're working towards.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah, correct.
But anyway, we are coming up on an hour here. Before we let you go, though, when we started, you mentioned something about secrets in the game, and I can't let you go without hearing what kind of secrets are hidden in the game.
So there's a number of trivia that I have here, but there's, like, actually the game is actually full of them. So probably we can, I don't know, I'll probably go through some of them. But basically, the game actually has a story. And while that was not the main focus of, like, you know, a space shooter game doesn't necessarily have to have a story, but I put one anyway. But at the same time, I actually took that story as something that I would express myself through. So if you look at the game, generally, like, all the messages that would show in the game, these are actually written in, like, C++ style. And actually, the very first message in the game that you will read, it's like it says, "Hello world." That's actually the very first line of programming that you would read in any C++ programming book.
Yeah, I remember doing a true basic class when I was in, like, middle school, and the very first thing that you had to do in the programming class was have it just display the words "Hello world."
So that was it. Basically, it's like, a lot of the messages are gimmicks around programming, just because, like, I was thinking, like, yeah, maybe a programmer will play the game and it will find that cool.
Well, I remember the one message was like, "Take that, noob," or something like that.
Yeah, so the names of the levels, I'm pretty sure people find them, like, cryptic, but the reality is these are actually assembly instructions for, like, the assembly language on like a machine language. If you have the mind to look them up in Wikipedia, you will probably be able to tell, like, you will read what that instruction does, and you can actually reflect it on the actual level design. Like, every level is actually modeled to reflect what that instruction really does. So there is, like, for example, one of the levels called loop, and that level actually puts you through a number of looping challenges. So that was actually one way of how I inspired myself to build the levels. Kind of very strange way, but being a geeky programmer, I am, like, that's how I
that is actually neat, because, you know, the name of the level actually gives you a hint to what you'll be facing.
Exactly.
If you read into it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to most people. It's just, like, sometimes if that special guy is playing, like, he will actually at one point, like, discover that and he will feel great about it.
they're little nods, you know. I like programmers that put that kind of stuff in, because then it's something kind of, like, well, if anybody else doesn't see it, at least it's kind of like there for myself. You know, you go back to play and you're like, oh yeah, I remember when I did that.
Like, just leave a little bit of yourself behind with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there are also nods to the other games that inspired us for Hyper Void. So if you recall when you beat the first boss ever in level 3, you will read a message saying like, eat electric death. That actually comes from Tempest. If you've played Tempest, you have the super zapper weapon, and when you shoot that, like, you get that message on the screen, electric death.
Oh, that's great.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, so that's a nod towards Tempest. Another nod is also, I know, I think many people haven't read the story, but it's also hidden in the story. At one point, the story mentions, like, the humans are saying, like, we've been attacked by all races in the universe, but they're not only cats and insects. What does that really mean, cats and insects? That's actually a reference to Wing Commander, the Wing Commander series in which you actually fight the Kilrathi and the Nephilim races. These are actually like tigers and like the insect kind races. So that's a nod to Wing Commander. And actually the time period of the game, so it happens in around year 2900. That's about like 100 years after the events of Wing Commander. So again, it is like trying to position itself in that world.
That is really cool stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. See, and that's the thing. It's stuff like that that, you know, a lot of these independent companies, they're really not going that extra mile just to be like, oh, this is something interesting that, you know, if somebody picks up on it, they're going to be like, oh, wow, that's rad.
Like, not everyone is going to get this, but if you do,
yeah,
you're cool.
It's a little wink, too. And it's really cool that you're doing that little homage to the games that helped you to create this game.
I guess, that should be well on the previous that we have for Hyper Void.
All right. Well, I do want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
It's been great chatting with you.
A lot for the fun time that we spent like this. I mean, it's been great talking to you guys.
And definitely keep us posted when the Xbox One version is coming out. Because... Absolutely. Whenever new games come to the Xbox One, we get excited because we all own Xbox Ones.
Yeah, that's the only console where we can actually, you know, compare ourselves to each other.
Yeah, so you're basically guaranteed three sales with the three of us in this room.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, okay, that's cool.
All right, well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Thanks and welcome.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah, now the poor guy's going to listen to this. And So, yeah. No,
I had to get it. It's been building up.
Yeah, no, very, very professional. And, you know, for those of you out there who know, we do talk to our guests, and we ask them what level they're comfortable with, and then we respond accordingly. So
we still slip something in here.
You did, too.
I think I did one.
It's still SML. Yeah, it's still... True. Shitty man luck.
But we behaved, and we appreciate our guest for.
So at least if he would like to pimp it out, you just stop it at that one point.
Yeah, don't listen to it anymore.
Send it to your family.
Stop
like,
right when we
from.
Hang up.
Yeah,
if you're listening to this, you already fucked up.
Yeah, you went too far.
Well, and also, I mean, he knows enough about computers; he can just edit this out and then send it to family.
Understood, and that'll be good. Yeah.
So, Rock Band news, besides the fact that it comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
U2 is coming to Rock Band.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's still new shit to say about this.
U2 can U2. Play Rock Band.
No, the band
is
U2.
Is it the good U2?
There's one new song and one old song. They're not any major radio
the
hits.
Fact,
it's the, not how to build
listen,
a
but
bomb,
more,
right.
Two songs have been announced, but more are coming.
Can I sing the sweetest thing yet?
No.
The sweetest thing. fact that they're coming to Rock Band at all.
Hey, Joe, is Fuel coming to Rock Band?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, fuck. I don't care.
The big thing is, like, I even noticed on Facebook, John Drake, he was like, awesome to hear about the U2 announcement. That's been in the works for a long time.
Since Rock Band 1.
Possibly. You never know how long this shit could take, but it looks like it finally...
Bono only works on music in between Saving Starving Children. So he's very busy.
We've got to save America. Children. The
they're
children of Africa for Ireland.
No, save the Go children ahead. Of America. They're so fat.
You fat, bloody twats in America.
Yeah, so saw a lot of comments about fat Americans the last couple of weeks.
That's because we're fat Americans.
It's because Americans are fat.
Yeah.
And true. I am a fat American. But yeah, Rock Band out on Tuesday. So by the time you hear this, we will still be eagerly waiting Rock Band.
I will be on an airplane while you're playing Rock Band.
I'll be out of town probably.
Right here, your microphone smells kind of like vomit. Just right here.
What?
I do want to say how impressed I am of the fact that when you grabbed a drink and you sipped some water, I clearly heard it from the microphone.
Well, what?
Picking
like,
that up.
From here?
Yeah. Like, I heard that.
It's because it's a condenser microphone.
I know. I don't know how well it's going to come through in the recording.
It will.
But it's
at least a little bit.
Yeah. Cool. As soon as the guest gets off, it's like, yeah, we don't give a shit about topics anymore. Hey, water.
That's
water.
Cool. You're doing there are three games we need to talk about this week.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's stuff that I want to talk about.
Because companies have been gracious enough to send us review codes to talk about these games.
Excellent.
And the little mark of paper that I had with all the names of the development studios on it is the other room.
Well, while you're looking, I would like to mention that my niece is better than me at Shovel Knight now.
How does that make you feel?
Unsurprised. My niece is 8 years old, and she is hyper as hell. So she's finally old enough for me to bond after we do the running around and playing and running around some more. I showed her Shovel Knight on my laptop, and she just dug it. She loved it.
She only asked for my help twice.
Like, she beat three bosses, and she only asked for my help to get over two parts that were more of the tricky jumps and stuff.
Right.
And then I showed her. I didn't say on the first try, did I? The Gianni Sisters. It's an older game that came out.
Gianni Sisters.
Yeah, that one. She liked that one because she really liked that you could switch between worlds to get to different things. But she's already a hoarder in game. She would stand in the same area until she got all the gems.
Oh,
she's like, I'm not moving on until I can get all the way up there and get that gem. It's like, okay.
I understand.
Back away from the 8-year-old.
You got it.
It's not
You're
safe.
On a mission.
Yep.
Oh, didn't you want to say something about Tony Hawk? We'll get that out of the way before we start talking about games we enjoyed.
So Tony Hawk is... No.
Damn.
So Tony Hawk is super fucking broken.
They didn't send us review codes. I'm not being gentle.
Listen.
Sounds like they needed to send out beta codes.
Tony Hawk is super... Super fucking broken.
I saw super some Twitter broken. Words on it, but I haven't seen any gameplay. How broken is it?
Well, one, it looks like a PlayStation 1 game.
Exaggerate that much. It looks like a 360 game.
Is it $60?
Yes.
It's $60.
Okay. It shouldn't look like anything other than a...
It shouldn't look anything other than
I
like
hate
a
it when
game.
People over-exaggerate when it comes to graphics and visuals. It looks like a 360
It looks like
game.
A TurboGrafx game.
But here's the thing. To me, it looks comparable to the Tony Hawk HD remake.
Which was on the 360.
So... To me, essentially, they're taking the same types of engines and same types of everything that they were using on PlayStation 1, remaking it, making it look prettier, and then try and pass it off as a next-gen game.
All right, so it's like a...
If this game was not full price, I wouldn't care as much. But this is a full-price game.
Yeah, for what you're paying, and the visuals are not good.
No.
I fully agree with that.
All right, so what else? What else makes it terrible?
Glitches out the ass.
You will clip through levels constantly. The fact that they have that, and they didn't even like talk about this up until I started seeing the reviews come out. When you go to grind, normally you just hit we'll just say triangle, because when I first started playing Tony Hawk, I played it on a PlayStation.
You hit Y.
So you hit, you'll hit Y. So you hit Y. And you'll plunge. So instead of before, when you would like get ready to hop on a rail, as you're in midair, you would preemptively hit Y and then line yourself up for the grind. Well, now when you hit Y, it just plunges you right to the ground. So there was videos of people essentially just like doing a flip trick and then ground pounding. So they'll just stand in one area and they're hopping up and down like fucking like a couple feet off the ground. Just boom, 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 boom.
Nice.
Like, it's just like that doesn't make any sense. And it makes the game that much harder to play because there's so many people that are used to that one mechanic.
Yeah.
That now all of a sudden they're going to bind it a different kind of thing to it and change the physics completely. Like, and then the, what is it? There's 9 levels, right? 9 levels?
I don't know how much content is in the game. I've seen videos of it, and it's just depressing to watch.
Content-wise, it's awful. It's essentially, I feel like they're giving me a game that would be comparable to what came out in the N64 era.
Wow.
Content-wise,
okay.
Yeah.
So this article was asking, is it Activision's fault? And they go in and they say, it's been hailed as broken on all accounts and is utterly embarrassing in every capacity. It should be a $10 Xbox Live Arcade game.
Yeah.
Even the game's 7.7 gigabyte launch day update, which is bigger than the 4.4 gigabyte game, couldn't fix things. Yes, it's worse than Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yes.
Okay, so that right there.
And I feel bad for Tony Hawk because he's had shit games for years, and he's finally like, this is going to be the one. This is bringing it back.
And it just tanks.
Robomoto just fucked up again.
Yep. See, now here's the interesting thing. And this is the part of the story where I start to gain some hope. In response, Skate 1, Skate 2, and Skate 3 are on sale.
For half off.
For half off.
They literally are taking advantage of this fuck up.
They literally were like, well, you could just spend your money on a good game instead.
Yeah. Like, even on Reddit, someone was like, since the new one's so bad, how about you vote for Project 8 for backward compatibility, which still wasn't a good
Project
Tony Hawk
game. Project 8 was terrible.
And I posted in the comments links to all 3 skate games, and I'm like, how about you just vote for these instead?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the top voted comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Skate 1, Skate 2, Skate 3, you guys already know my, you know,
you love skate.
I love the skate series. But the thing is I'm not alone on this. There's a ton of gamers that started with Tony Hawk games, and as soon as they got a taste of a skate game, they're like, yo, fuck Tony Hawk. Like, Skate is pretty much, like, well, skate is, and this was actually the best, and I read it on a Reddit comment earlier today, and it was the perfect analogy for it. Tony Hawk is to skateboarding as Blitz is to football. So Skate is essentially your Madden. Tony Hawk is your NFL Blitz.
Hmm. But I like Blitz more than Madden.
Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of things that I like that Blitz does over Madden, but if you want a realistic football experience...
Yeah, for a purist,
they want Madden.
Yeah.
If someone isn't
actually, they
super...
want NFL 2K5.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Before Madden went exclusive.
But what I'm trying to get at is, if you're not, like, super in-depth into skate culture and you're not, like, you just want to play a skateboarding game, Tony Hawk games are that normal route.
But if you want to skate...
But if you really enjoy skateboarding, you really understand it and want more of that simulated, like,
and
hardcore...
And you live in a shitty area where you can't skateboard.
Dude, I'm telling you, skate fans will live, die, and breathe that fucking game. Like, it's just that, like, it's a series.
I hope they don't die, because then they're not going to buy the sequel.
Well, that sequel, that will never happen, if it ever happens. One. Now, and that's the one thing that kind of gives me a little bit of hope. Now that all of this stuff ended up, like, when they turn around and just put that stuff on sale, they have to be at least listening a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hopefully.
So, hopefully, they'll finally take this as a hint to be like, maybe we should do a skate
All right,
game.
So what you got over there, Jim?
So anyway, the 3 games that we need to talk about, because they are releasing this week or they are already out. The first one is called Orbit from 4-Bit Games.
Oh, that was that one that we played earlier,
right?
Yeah,
it is. The first thing I'll mention is kind of a downside to the game. It is a local multiplayer only game.
It is
there is no single player
mode
at
all. That's the only downside. That's literally the only downside.
Right. Yeah, there is no single player mode at all. There is no online modes at all. It is a local party game. And as a local party game, it is fucking bananas.
It's interesting.
Once I figured out what was going on, I still lost every round. But I had a lot of fun.
But at least once you understand the concept, you're like, oh, okay, now I get it. And then when you played it, made more sense.
And there is a whole lot of different strategies.
A bunch of different modes and styles in the game. I love the fact that it's not just an arena-based space shooter. Gravity plays
your aircraft orbiting one or multiple different things. If you hit them, you explode. You're trying to blow each other up.
Yes.
Your gravitational pull is affects dependent on whatever's in there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the central planet has its own gravitational pull. If there's any moons orbiting, they have their own gravitational pull. You have to make sure you're controlling properly so that you don't get
pulled into
the planet. You still want to go around to kind of orbit.
When you fire
planet,
your enemies, you want to try and take into account.
You have
all
to
the
take
gravity.
All of that
into and three different types of ships with three different, totally different play modes. To you know, I could warp. You had
do that warp
shields.
Ability was pretty badass.
Yeah, and then you had the ballista, so you were able to fire like
I was
badass
weapon. Yeah, I was able to fire an extra weapon.
Yeah,
but even just like so, after every round, you get these upgrades, and even the upgrades that I was getting, it seemed, and I could be wrong, but it seemed like my upgrades were different than the upgrades that you could potentially
the
get.
Ships
so
have different upgrades. Yeah,
right. So,
yeah, based on two of the categories, I believe are the same, and then the third is based on your weapon. Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because
I went right to the warp. Oh, I can warp more.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that
warp more better.
That's amazing. That's a really good.
But it's just stupidly fun game. It's only $8. So if you're having company over, if you have game nights, absolutely worth picking up. If you don't have friends,
don't get it.
Skip it.
Yeah, don't get it.
If you don't have friends,
if
don't
you don't
get
have
it.
Friends who can play locally.
If you're an achievement whore with an extra controller, give it a go.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that part.
Yeah, it's but for the, it's meant for parties.
No,
it is absolutely
Joe's gonna
meant
make
for parties.
Us play until we get all the achievements.
No,
help us,
not.
Please help.
But the thing I like the most is even when you try shooting your opponents, you have to factor in the gravitational pull.
Which I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't doing.
You also
I was
have
just
to factor in your missile not coming back and
hitting you.
You have to select the ability to not be blown up by your own missile.
One of my favorite achievements in the game is to shoot a missile and have it orbit for a minute.
Oh, God.
I like that.
That's got to be a good shot.
That's a brilliant achievement idea.
Yeah.
Because you need a perfect shot. You need to make sure it doesn't hit one of the orbiting moons, another player. It's...
Yeah.
That's a fucking cool achievement.
The other players, the harder part than the moons. Those damn players getting
orbit, four-bit games. You guys get a thumbs up from me.
I liked it. I dug it.
Yeah, thumbs up, thumbs... That's going to be our review. Thumbs up, thumbs down, or...
We'll do
for
thumbs
what
up,
it was,
thumbs,
thumbs
up,
up.
Thumbs up, neutral, or thumbs down. I'll go thumbs up if you've got the people.
Yeah. If they, even when you go to buy the game, it says, warning, this is a local multiplayer game only.
Right.
So if you buy it despite that warning, you're stupid.
You're dumb.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a thumbs down because I couldn't play online. No, thumbs up because it was exactly what it said it was going to be and nothing more.
And it's a blast to play.
Yeah,
super simple.
Sense.
Super. We all figured out how to play it within the first round.
Yeah.
The next game we played, or I played, you guys watched, is called Standpoint from Unruly Attractions.
Oh, is that the
gravity game?
It is a first-person puzzler exploration action game.
I would say more first person puzzler.
British woman who drank a lot and forgot what the hell was going on game.
Oh, I still don't understand the story, but
yeah, I didn't really pick it up.
Gameplay wise, just like Orbit, there's a lot focused on gravity where you can look at different walls and depending on where you're looking, you can change the gravity to that location.
Right. That's the one thing that I liked about this is because it was dependent on how your view was. So if you rotate the room, now your perspective is different. So the gravity in the room will change dependent on your perspective.
And it's the gravity, the change in gravity only affects you.
Right. Which because, that's the other interesting part of it.
Because like there's switch puzzles where you have to get a block to form and you have to place it on the switch. Of course, right away, it's easy enough. Pick up the block, put it on the switch. And then you have to get it across hazards or through different areas. And it gets tough.
Yeah.
It is not a super easy game. The mechanics will take time to learn.
Sure.
Yeah, you're very good with puzzles, and even you kept struggling on a few points.
You said it perfectly. It is very disorienting.
Oh, yeah.
If you get motion sick, this may not be
you
the
do
game.
Not
just right off the top of the bat, this might not be the game.
Funny enough, I get issues with motion sickness, and I didn't have a problem with
again,
it.
You were the one playing.
You were the one playing.
Well,
it.
No, even like Portal 2, I couldn't play for more than 10
what?
Minutes.
Oh, I played the shit out of Portal.
I can see it in Portal because Portal. If you, depending on what you're doing, like you can end up going through really,
but
really
to be
fast
honest, though, the difference is on the graphics. This game doesn't offer you the graphical distractions of Portal that might actually help to reduce any potential
motion sickness. I don't
want to
say,
yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't want to say it has bad visuals. They're
it's
very
simple.
Simplistic
you're,
by
you're going
design.
Through you're going through tunnels.
Right.
I mean,
it's simplistic by design.
Yeah. My only complaint with it is the story is simplistic, and to
that
me,
we know of.
To me, though, yeah. It wasn't. It to me, it just it hit that line. It wasn't minimalist enough to be mysterious, but it was too minimalist to be interesting. Again, we only made it through two levels.
I understand what you mean.
Well, no, what I got was just even honestly, I feel like even if I get more of the story, I'm going to be unimpressed. But again, this is just conjecture.
But we don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what? We played it for...
Two levels. That's it. Yeah.
No, I played more than two levels.
I paid attention
I had to
for
get,
two
like,
levels.
Five or six in.
I paid attention for two levels.
Again, these are early impressions because, like, I don't know if I'd ever be able to beat this game just because...
I don't think I'd be good
as
enough.
As early in the game as it is, it's... very difficult. Yeah. I don't want to say frustrating because as long as
it's just a steep learning curve?
Yeah. You need the patience and you need a clear mind.
Because you had the figure out the puzzles and some of those moved really fast.
Yeah.
You had to figure it out and then twitch your way across.
I can actually see this as a good relaxation game. Believe it or not.
I think once you understand it and once you grasp like the concept more, yeah, I could see that.
You're talking about turning off your brain and going with the flow.
Yeah, a Zen game, like you become one with the game.
Sure. Yeah, I can
become
see that.
One with the drunken lady with bad memories.
But I think Unruly Attractions, the game is only $10, so again, it's not a huge investment. It seems to be a fairly long game, depending on how good you are.
I can see that. Yeah. No, like, I think for $10, I think it's absolutely...
If you like puzzles, this will challenge you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of like a Portal-esque type of game, like give it a shot.
Check your expectations before going in. I'm going to give this game a thumbs up, but research it before you do a purchase.
Yeah, watch a quick
watch
video.
A playthrough. Yeah. See if someone's doing it on Twitch. Know what you're getting into. But if this is what you're looking for, it is a good time.
I think that's accurate.
I was unimpressed, but I didn't play it, so my opinion does not matter.
Yeah,
I understand the concept.
Can be a new,
though.
Like I think
neutral.
This is a fully understandable neutral because that's not your kind of game.
Yeah.
I could justifiably
Nobody
if you're
died.
Into puzzlers and if you liked, you know,
there's not enough murder
there
and
was
hits.
No blood, man. Like what the fuck?
But if you like Portal and you like those kind of puzzlers, I could see it a thumbs up. Yeah. I mean for $10, like that's not bad.
What's the third game?
The third game is called Polychromatic. It is by Brushfire Games. It comes out this Friday, so I guess today that you're hearing this.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're in the future now.
Time traveling.
The basic gist of it is it's Geometry Wars Lite.
Yeah, I'm already turned
off.
Was
this...
It's very simplistic, 2D-ish visuals. Just basically like basic shapes, like circles, diamonds, squares.
Was that the one that was like kind of had like the gray background?
I think so.
I think I did you play it like a couple days ago or something like
yeah,
that? Or
yeah,
like...
you were watching me play it and I I feel bad saying it's Geometry Wars Lite because it has a lot of content to it, a lot of different modes.
Mm-hmm.
It is a perfect leaderboard chaser game.
Okay.
You start off shooting one bullet, or no, two bullets, I think. And as you get further and further, you start shooting three, then four, then five wide. The different shapes have different attack patterns, just like in Geometry Wars.
Right.
The thing that differentiates this is basically the visual style,
mm-hmm.
in that it doesn't have like flashy, trippy backgrounds.
It's not supposed to distract you as much, right?
Yeah. It seems more like this is focus and skill based instead of deal with distraction based.
Okay. Which I can respect that a lot more.
I think it's a lot easier to play.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when I first started, like they have a timed mode. I couldn't do shit.
Yeah, you were dying like super
fast. I was dying like crazy, but as soon as I, like, everything clicked, it all came back.
Okay. Yeah, it's twin stick shooter, you know.
Yeah, twin stick shoot. It is very much Geometry Wars like. I think visually it does enough different to stand out on its own.
Do you think so?
Visually, yes.
And
based on how mediocre Geometry Wars 3 was,
See, now I haven't played a Geometry Wars other than I played the first one and then I played the one that was on the Wii.
The biggest complaint a lot of people have with Geometry Wars 3 is that they tried doing too much different. Like they have 3D levels of imagine a cube shape of going around different sides.
Oh, so like that game that was on the Vita?
Maybe.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Tim had like the biggest hard on for it.
I don't remember
the name of it,
but it just seems to be a more back to the basics kind of game.
Okay.
It's again only $10, so it's not a huge investment.
Okay.
If you have the itch for Geometry Wars and Geometry Wars 3 left you wanting, give it a go. I'll give it a thumbs up. It's kind of like it's not a hearty thumbs up.
A wiggle.
It's my thumb's getting sore, it's not a firm, like, rock hard erection up.
Okay.
It's kind of like a chub up.
Chub up?
Yeah.
I think for $10, because there isn't, I mean, Geometry Wars 3 was on the one, right?
Yeah.
How much is Geometry Wars 3?
I want to say 15.
Do you feel like it would be worth getting this over Geometry Wars 3?
Over it, I don't believe so, because Geometry Wars does still have those basic levels, but it has a lot more content. If you have a bunch of friends who all get it and you're looking to one up each other scoreboard wise,
okay,
I think this would be the easier game to do that.
Okay.
Plus, if you feel too distracted by the visuals of Geometry Wars.
That's why I'm interested in it, because with Geometry Wars, gameplay-wise, I understood the concept enough, and I was able to play it really, really well. However, I would always reach a certain point where I'm like, I'm fucking lost. I don't even know what's going on the screen.
Yeah, there's too much shit going on. There's too much flashing. The levels are waving, and the grid is like water, and there's particle effects everywhere.
I hate that. So
if
that's
you
why
hate that, you want polychromatic.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
Because for me personally, I love the gameplay, but the visuals of Geometry Wars drove me up a fucking wall. So yeah.
I will go full disclosure. All three of those games we talked about, I was provided review codes for. If I wasn't provided review codes for them, Orbit, I might have held off on just because it's only me and you.
Right.
Standpoint, I would have probably held off on because just first person games can kind of get to me, but like I would have had to see more gameplay of it.
Okay.
Polychromatic, I still would have bought.
I was going to say, I think out of all three of them, if, I didn't receive any copies of them. I would buy Polychromatic.
Yeah, I would definitely still pick up Polychromatic for the $10, absolutely, because I enjoy those kinds of games.
Mm-hmm. Orbit, if I had more friends, I would get Orbit.
Yeah, like Orbit is like a baller party game.
Yeah. If I had more friends, I would get that game.
Like, the three of us playing earlier was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and we only... We only played it for 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
Just one round of three.
Right. So, I mean, even still, like, with that little bit of the game...
Yeah, we were laughing our asses off.
I enjoyed it. I would have fun with it.
So now that I'm in the room, you guys are seeing what I actually do when y'all go off on a tangent I can't follow.
Well, we're talking about games that you could still be talking about.
No, I'm on Twitter.
What's
going on Twitter?
The live tweet of Masters of the Universe.
Never mind, I don't care. So yeah, we have a Twitter account now.
Is,
I'm listening.
Amazing. It's amazing. I'm sorry, but there are just some comments in here. I'm trying not to just
shout out to Drunk Monkeys.
Shout out to Drunk Monkeys. If this and they're watching the classic 1987 Dolph Lundgren film Masters of the Universe.
If this doesn't
end with He-Man, Skeletor, sex to cry little sister, I'm going to hit someone. I mean, yeah. So I'm reading about a live tweet while you guys talk about a game that immediately you sit compared to Geometry Wars, so my brain shut itself off. We are on the Twitters.
Fair, you weren't around for
We are on the Twitters. We are the SML podcast.
Just like email.
And the first mistake that I made was giving Joe the login information.
Why?
Why is that?
I think you both assume. Well, is there really a reason? Was it? No.
Oh, I can almost.
I gave Joe powers.
A reason.
Now I appreciate that Joe did put up the photo because
a photo of peaches.
Yeah. Well, because the SML logo, it was so small, Twitter refused to recognize it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
it came in at like
it.
18 bits.
I did change your description.
Yeah, now that I do have a bone to pick with you on that. I made our description incredibly professional and still explain exactly what we are.
But we're not.
And you just called me an asshole instead.
But you are.
I don't need to be one publicly.
Our description for Twitter says gaming, developer interviews, giveaways, and insanity, which is
a perfect description.
That's fine.
And then I put the three people involved. I put Joe Cam, gamer/fat guy. Again, accurate. I put Chris, musician/hipster.
I am not a
perfectly
hipster.
Accurate.
No, I would have honestly gone Joe the gamer, Chris the musician, and Pappy the noob. That would have been done. You know, still a funny punchline with Pappy the noob. But we didn't have to call him hipster, you fat, or me an asshole.
We needed to call me fat.
You wanted to call you fat.
Do you guys really want me to change it?
Only a little.
Yeah. Only a lot. You can change it to noob.
So you don't want to be movie buff / asshole?
No, movie buff, game noob,
movie buff,
or just noob.
/ sheep fucking.
Terrible gamer. There's plenty of things you don't have to call me an asshole. I want people to learn that for themselves.
I could call you molester.
And I was thinking about this earlier today about the word hipster.
I think it does genuinely bother Chris to be called a hipster.
Because here's the thing. I feel like nowadays, everybody uses hipster as a blanket term for anybody that necessarily goes against the grain in any way.
It's even worse. Where I work, hipster is only used as a derogatory.
Yes.
It's not even like, oh yeah, a group of people who like a specific thing are hipsters. No, it's people who suck specifically with music and people who are assholes specifically with music.
Right.
They're hipsters. Where I work, it's purely derogatory.
Yeah. The hipster movement essentially, and just how easily it kind of gets thrown
about.
Yeah,
originally hipster was just people who really loved underground music, who seriously dug the idea of being the first people to discover something. That was the original idea of hipster, like counterculturalists.
Right.
But then, you know, culture itself dug on that as, oh, you want to be different. Oh, that must make you kind of a dipshit.
Yeah.
Okay.
pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. I changed them.
Okay.
Joe Cam, gamer/fat guy, which is staying.
Okay, that's fair.
Chris, musician/non-insane vegan.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Not insane vegan.
Pappy movie buff slash sucks at games.
That's absolutely.
That's fine.
And I appreciate
asshole.
That. And I appreciate it.
Non-insane vegan.
He's
I like
still
it.
An asshole. No. I want to make that clear.
Yeah, no, I'm never going to argue that. I just don't want people to know
on
it before
paper.
I meet them.
Pappy's
yeah.
still 110% vegan.
Is he? Who's? I didn't know that.
No,
that.
I'm sorry. Asshole.
Yeah, I'm 110%. The 10% is meat. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was unaware.
Yeah. You go so vegan, you go right back to carnivore.
I'm getting
you
confused. You two look the same, so I'm getting confused.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Joe, how drunk are you?
I couldn't do the
So what are you guys
piercings.
Playing?
What
I don't know. What are we
going
to play later?
Diablo.
Maybe we played some Diablo.
We played Diablo in the same room yeah. on the same screen, which yeah. was weird.
Which slowed Chris down a lot.
A
Chris
lot.
Was like, I can't run faster than everyone.
Well, you can. You just got to wait.
To be fair, I sat back most of the time, unless there was somewhere
because
that we had to get to.
Because you fight ranged, so you had to sit back.
Well, that was the whole reason why I started
no,
gearing up my
yeah.
Demon
but,
Hunter.
But when it came to running...
It turns out that Chris needs a lot of death's breaths because he's so advanced, he needs hundreds of them.
I've been
so
burning
he took
through
a,
them.
He had to knock off for a minute to go run some errands. Joe and I kept playing, and we got a shit ton of death's breaths.
Well, good. You can actually, if you want...
I
if
can
you
drop
want,
you 200 or 300.
You
and
can
not even
when you
notice.
Go even when you go home. If you think about it, if you launch Diablo, you can just send me death breaths because I finally got the pants that I needed, and then a second one dropped within like an hour later.
Yeah.
So I just sent it to Joe,
which was hilarious. He's like, "I finally got the pants." I'm like, what are you talking about? The hexing pants. I got them. I'm like, wow. What do we do now?
I'm like,
where
like,
do we
I make
go
a demon
from
hunter.
Here? And then later that night, he's like, yeah, I got another pair. I sent them to you. Like, what? No excitement over that?
It's like, no.
Like, you finally got them?
I've moved on.
It's like, well, fuck it.
Well, see, the problem, I would have been way more excited at the fact had I gotten them and then not seen them again.
Yeah.
But then an hour
when
later.
When it rains, it pours.
Yeah. An hour later when I fucking get another pair. Yeah. And it was just randomly, like, I was doing, I don't even remember what I was. I was doing key runs. So I wasn't even fucking, like, I wasn't even rifting or anything. It just randomly fucking dropped. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Motherfucker.
Son of a bitch.
I was really mad. I picked it up. I actually, funny enough, I picked it up and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then immediately went, I guess I'll send them to Joe.
Nah, I suppose.
I actually went back. One of the interviews from last week was with Crazy Monkey Studios about Guns, Gore, and Cannoli.
Right.
I played some more of that because that game is fantastic. I had a blast with that and just doing some extra achievements, mopping up, stuff like that, having fun. I went back and I replayed Nightmares from the Deep.
Oh.
I went through it last night. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to try doing this again with all the Mahjong puzzles so I could just
get
that
the
achievement.
Yeah.
I think I speed ran it in an hour and a half.
Get out.
Just because I had a better idea of what
before.
I was doing
yeah,
this
right.
time. The one puzzle where you have to, like, make a green demon out of a bunch of shapes, that puzzle can still fuck off. I skipped it when I played.
I skipped it.
And then I was like, man, I should have played this on expert to get that achievement, too. Well, let me fire it up on expert mode, and I'll do some of the hidden object puzzles this time. Beat it again. I couldn't stop playing. I'm like, one more puzzle.
This is my night. I'm going to try and go to bed, and Joe's just going to be like, oh, there's a game. Look at this game. It hasn't been played yet.
There's a lot of games in his library that yeah. straight up
there's
hasn't
There's like two
even
or three.
Well, honestly, what I really should do is play the Evil Dead one, or the Walking Dead while I'm here.
The Walking Dead is going to be free later on this month, isn't it?
Yeah, the games with gold for October have been announced.
Yep.
And I believe right now, or no, is today still the 30th?
By the time you listen to this, it'll be live.
By the time you listen to this, the prices are live. It's probably late enough in the day so that they're live now. The Xbox One is getting Valiant Hearts.
Oh, yeah, that one indie game.
Which I've heard nothing but good about. I still got to play it sometime. And The Walking Dead Season 1. Xbox 360 is getting Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, which we already
had
the one.
Yeah, which was weird.
And The Walking Dead Season 1.
Oh, but how is the Expo going on year 2 now or 3?
We're in its second year right now.
Now, here's the thing that kind of irked me.
The 360 is still getting any kind of free shit is kind of
well, here's the
nice.
Here's the thing that bums me out. Last week, I think, was the first week that they were supposed to be like, all right, all the games that we do from here on out are going to be backwards compatible games.
Nope. November.
Oh, okay. A lot of people
thought it was going to be starting in August, but when the service goes live, November will be the first we see that stuff.
Oh, okay. Because that's why I was so confused, because I saw that and I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
yeah, a lot of people thought it was supposed to be now, but they've made it clear that it's when backward compatibility goes live.
Okay, now I understand.
From then on, they'll be all backward
someday,
compatible.
Someday, Def Jam. Someday.
No.
Dude. If they make Def Jam backwards compatible...
Yeah, I have an Xbox. I just need to get it to work and plug it in and play it for memory's sake. Or even a GameCube. Shit.
I never had a GameCube.
That was my first console ever.
Ever?
Yeah. I had to buy my own
first
console.
You had
an
N64.
Right?
Yes, it was given to me.
Yeah, so that was technically your first.
As far as release dates.
The first one I ever hooked up was a GameCube.
Yeah, the guy who gave him the N64 is a real piece of shit.
Yeah. He only gave me one game. What a dick.
What game?
Mario Kart.
No, he gave you Smash.
You gave me both, didn't you?
Well, then you got two games.
Okay, he only gave
me two
games.
Those are the most important ones.
No, really, they were.
Literally the only other game possibly lump in with that is Super Mario 64.
It was his going away present to me when I joined the military.
Oh. Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah.
You guys are cute.
He treated me better than my girlfriend at the time did. She went and fucked a fat guy.
Women.
I'm just a fat guy.
She didn't fuck this fat guy.
This fat guy.
No, she cheated down on me. She cheated on me with some dude who didn't even shower regularly. I'm like, if you're going to cheat on me, at least cheat up. Make me feel like you did better.
You know what? I have noticed every single time that I have had a woman either like cheat on me or leave me for someone else, I see who they go, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, and it's not even from a point of view where I'm like, oh, I'm so much better than that. I was like, no, this guy literally has poor hygiene. Everyone who knows the guy, it's like, that dude is actually really disgusting.
Yeah. That's so
weird. Anyone playing anything else?
No, I look forward to playing a lot of stuff in the next 48 hours, but I've been on vacation, so I've been too busy doing shit, like installing ceiling fans. That's what you do on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Install
ceiling fans.
And I hooked up my parents' entertainment system.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a good son.
There's something cool that our fans could be playing soon.
What's that?
Super Mega Baseball, because we just got codes to give to you people.
And I'm going to play with... whoever gets the code, as long as it's Xbox One, we'll play a game against each other. When you email in and you get the code, I will attach my gamer tag, and we will have a game.
Sounds
good.
Yes,
we were nice enough to get an email from Metalhead Software. We are trying to set up an interview to have those guys come on the show sometime.
Which that I want to be around for, because at first I joked, I'm like, okay, yeah, Metalhead Studios, ha ha ha, whatever. But no, apparently they're actual metalheads.
Like, they're legit metalheads.
When you listen to the soundtrack for that game, dude, the soundtrack is straight fire. It's so good.
It is.
It's so fucking good.
It's like mixtape fire.
It is. It's like Dylon, 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 and Dylon. Spit hot fire.
God damn it. Fucking Dylon. Oh,
do you
my
want to
God.
Know, the
you
only
have to explain
why,
that joke to me. I don't
the
get
only
that
reason
one.
Why I even know about that joke is my my commanding officer when I was in basic training, the one that I was talking about that was like, he only listened to Evanescence and 90s wrestling themes.
Yeah,
he made that joke. Same guy.
That's right. It. Chappelle show. That's how old that joke
is. It's a Chappelle show joke.
So, God. This was the Pappy Visit 2-hour podcast special.
In real
it's
life.
Still only an hour 43.
Pappy IRL.
It's
hour
40-ish.
Pappy IRL.
Well, yeah, once music's tacked on.
Yep.
I'm hoping I'm going to try hitting up Weesum back up and see if we can get some songs from Hypervoid to put on the end. If not,
you'll get some other stuff.
Whatever.
And I'm holding in a fart.
I am still waiting for email responses for you to tell me what to buy.
Seriously, people. Like, all you have to do is email us and we give you free
shit.
You'll
get a game.
Like, lots of free shit.
Free game.
We can give you a Hypervoid code. You know that game we just talked about?
We have that.
We'll give it to you. What the hell else do I? I'll pull it up. I'll look and see what fucking games we got. We have Nightmares from the Deep. We have one of those to give away. So you could get that.
I'm just going to start making different email accounts and fucking...
Let's see.
Nobody's taking advantage of it. My name is
we just talked about Polychromatic. Oregon. You can get that for free. We have the Clusterpuck guys.
Wait,
get that for free. Yeah.
I want that one.
Yeah, I don't even get Clusterpuck for free.
I got an email.
I emailed you last week. Where's my Clusterpuck?
Okay, I'll give you Clusterpuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we only have one of those.
Joe texts me.
Guns,
like,
Gore, and Cannoli? You could get that for free.
Joe texts me for questions for the games, for the interviews that he does solo. So, you know, he has a few extra.
The Polychromatic one, like we said before, would be one of the few ones that I would actually buy. So if we have a code, I'm emailing in. Words.
Yeah.
I'm emailing in so that I can get the code.
Ask Joe a question.
People bitch about us for not having PS4 stuff, despite the fact we just had a PS4 interview on today. We have Ascendant, Zombie Vikings, and Hypervoid codes.
And they're all PS4.
All on PS4.
Yep. And we still have Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time codes, Beat Buddy codes.
Which...
And we still have...
I had a coworker who played that on Steam. He said he really enjoyed it.
10 codes for the Pixel
Lovers
Noir
soundtrack.
Space-Time. Oh, nice.
I don't know if he said Steam or PS4, but he played it.
I think it was
and
Steam.
He liked it.
It's not on PS4,
okay,
so it had to be Steam.
Yeah.
Steam. Xbox exclusive.
All right, then Steam, because he has a PS4 and a Steam.
So...
And a Steam.
And a Steam.
And a Steam. I have a Steam.
Isn't that
do
what
you
your
have
PS4
a Steam?
Did? Is Steamed?
I didn't know. Yeah, do you have a Steam? Yeah. I have a Steam.
I have no self-esteem.
We know.
You should get one. So since we're... all in the same room
circle
and in the
jerk.
Same place. Pappy?
Yeah.
Final words?
No.
No. No, you're like...
I didn't come prepared.
No, you're in the same room as us, so...
Guys, let's cut the bullshit and start the orgy.
No. No.